You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Perfection Auto Works.
Ho, ho.
Who is this? Oh, Santa, it's good to hear from you again.
Oh, yes. Small collision with the lead power unit.
You ran over Rudolph?
Oh, minor front end damage. Can you fix his nose light?
Hang on just a minute. Hello, Merles. Do you guys have a nose bulb for an 01 reindeer? No, in red. Thanks. Santa, it'll be here in about 15 minutes. By the way, did you do the 26-point inspection I told you about last year?
Say, now you are starting to sound like Mrs. Claus.
You're missing out.
This is Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and
reindeer. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
To the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, now in our 33rd year of continuous political talk in Southern Arizona. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, featuring today Sam Stone, one of the most respected GOP consultants and strategists in America. He also is a former aide to Phoenix City Councilman Saul DeCiccio. Now he is a candidate himself for the Phoenix City Council. We'll also have Michael Byron, who is the former Tucson City prosecutor, founder of Progressive Blog for Arizona. The Blog for Arizona, said by the Washington Post to be the best blog in all of Arizona. It's going to be a great show. I'm glad you decided to join us. Here's Sam Stone. Hi, Sam.
John, thank you so much for having me.
You were close to Carrie Lake. She was close to you. You supported her. She supported you. She's apparently trying to overturn what has now been certified as the vote for governor in the state of Arizona, of course, with Hobbs having a 17,000 vote margin. Is there anything that you observe from her filing that would suggest that she might be successful?
Well, first, I have to say that I haven't read the whole thing by any means. I've seen a few excerpted pages from it, so I'm speaking here a little bit in the dark. I don't know that it will overturn the election, but I think there are some important questions that it brings up that, frankly, should have been brought in and issues addressed by the legislature during the last session that were not due to a veto by Doug Ducey and some other, you know, sort of inter-legislation personal issues. First and foremost among those being signature verification, which the AG's report from a year and a half ago also highlighted as a huge weakness in the system, which it is. It's the way they do it is really, you might as well not verify signatures the way they do it. So, that what happens from that, I don't know. It's hard to see the election being overturned. But perhaps there are going to be some changes that come of this for the next election.
Well, you've got Fitchum, who was defeated, of course, for Secretary of State. And he's saying, my goodness, there's social media posts from him forming anti-Semitism, global conspiracy, election fraud. He's even warned about Satanists trying to do away with the opposition party. And I think you got to disregard some of this rhetoric from those that lost in this last election and probably pay attention to what you've just said. So some of this just kind of sour grapes, I guess.
Some of what's being said is really, really over the top and not very realistic. But understand that this lawsuit was filed with advice and in conjunction and in large part with the RNC and others. This is not a crackpot thing that has been filed by any means. I don't think the remedy will go as far as some of these candidates hope, but the foundational issues that they're bringing up, I mean, come on, let's all be honest. It's not like Maricopa County ran a good, clean election. They had the eyes of the nation on them and pooched the screw. And, you know, there needs to be some accountability and an explanation for that.
Been waiting for the last few days to talk with you about Kyrsten Sinema, smart or dumb.
Well, smart. I mean, look, she's not going to get through a Democrat primary. Now, whether she can win as an independent, I think it's a bit of a narrow path, but it's clearly a more likely path for her at this point. I think also, even if she does or doesn't run, it takes a lot of pressure off her for the next year and change. Where Democrats can't, you know, why aren't you with us? You're on our side. It just takes a little pressure off her in D.C., whether it adds pressure for her here at home is yet to be seen. Democrats are certainly freaking out about it.
If there were a three-way race for the Senate, she stayed as an independent. That always is kind of messy, literally. There's no question about it. I mean, you go back to Ross Perot and his independent candidate for president of the United States, and you elect Bill Clinton, blah, blah, blah. And you've seen those three-way. What is the dynamic of that when you throw an independent into a race, especially an incumbent?
Well, it's very different with an incumbent. I mean, the Ross Perot example, I don't like to use the presidential race as an example for these things because you're not, it's very hard for an independent to get on the ballot in every state. So the end results are a little skewed. Whereas in this case, she's essentially got universal name ID in Arizona. She has a huge campaign war chest. She's going to have a ton of money to spend. And, you know, it depends, I think, on what she does coming up. How that run is perceived. Is she seen as a real independent, a moderating force, someone who works with both sides? And she appears to be legitimately trying to do that. There's a path for that. It's a narrow one, though.
She's talking about immigration reform and such, talking with the Republicans about that. That may go further than anybody else has gone on an issue that just has to be dealt with eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she has real potential. I mean, you know, kind of the interesting thing here with split control in Washington, Democrats in control of the Senate, Republicans in control of the House, is that someone like her, Joe Manchin, a few of the more moderate swing votes in the House could really dictate a very bipartisan series of legislation getting moved back and forth. If they're willing to do that, where you could work with one side and then the other alternatively on different issues. So I actually think that has real potential in terms of doing good things for this country. But it's going to be really interesting politically.
Let's talk about Trump. No question about the number of losses that accumulated under his direction with his help of candidates all across the board, but still, you know, I've always felt that Trump had the Trump card. He can tell the Republican Party at any time between now and 2024, look, I'm going to form an independent party, I'm going to form another party, and I will take half your Republican votes and Democrats will win everything. And there's probably some real message there and a real threat to the GOP, is there not?
No, not at all.
Really?
Quite frankly, no. That's overblown. First, again, trying to do it as president is really difficult. You're going to make it's basically impossible. So what are you going to do? I mean, why did Bernie Sanders run as a Democrat? He's, you know, been an independent / socialist his whole life. He wasn't part of the party structure. The reason he ran as a Democrat is because it's more or less impossible to run for president as an independent. But beyond just that point, the folks following him want to win. You know, they like him because in office as the president, he got a lot of things done that they applauded. They want to get back to winning. And I think especially right now, if he tried that move, yeah, he'd take a very small sliver of folks with him, but it wouldn't be those some huge, huge numbers. And it might swing an election or two, but then it would end up just looking very bad for him historically.
We're living with every minute of every day with the Supreme Court of Donald Trump. And that's going to be here for long after I'm gone. You too, perhaps. I mean, for decades. And that's going to be, if there's something about his legacy, that's going to be part of it. The rest of it is pretty messy, God knows.
Well, let's also credit Mitch McConnell there. I look at it, you know, you look at that as a bad thing. I look at it as a great thing. I think he appointed highly qualified, intelligent judges. And, you know, quite frankly, I applaud those judges. I wish they hadn't thrown Roe v. Wade back in our laps ahead of an election, but they did, and that was right legally. So is what it is. I mean, you know, I look at this and I say these are jurists who take very careful consideration of the issues at hand, and they're good jurists. And, you know, tit for tat, also, Republicans spent decades with a dedicated left lean on the court.
Well, some people believe, and we'll wrap this up about Trump, although we can't stop talking about him, I suppose. Last week, a lot of people feel that Donald Trump crossed the Rubicon and he took his social media platform and explicitly called for the abolishment of the U.S. Constitution, or at least part of the documents of the Constitution. But that wasn't the nail in his coffin. I don't know what the last nail is. I don't even know if he is in his coffin. It appears at times he is, politically speaking, of course. Your take on where the hell he's going now, between now and 2024?
You know, the circle around him is shrinking, is what it comes down to. Each of these incidents, and I thought there was a very big difference when he went after Glenn Youngkin and Ron DeSantis, neither of whom have done anything to attack him. His attacks in the past had always been with someone who had, you know, traded fire with him or opposed him on something. He hit DeSantis and Youngkin out of nowhere. That was different, and a lot of Republicans reacted, you know, and just said, oh, no, I'm done. Then this thing about the Constitution, you have the same response by another group of his supporters. So, I mean, right now when he's doing these things, he's bleeding support. And if you're Ron DeSantis, you know, or you're one of these other folks who's eyeballing this a presidential run right now, just sit back, keep your mouth closed, and let him do his own damage to himself.
All right, let's talk about Georgia before we leave some of the current political elections. That was expected, wasn't it? I mean, good grief, Walker was a terrible candidate. I mean, a horrible candidate.
Yeah, look, Walker got carried by Brian Kemp in the overall Republican ticket, which did really well in Georgia. I mean, that's kind of the backstory behind this, is that Walker, the Trump-aligned candidate, versus all the non-Trump-aligned candidates, they all won outright. 200,000 voters turned up and voted for Walker in the November election, who didn't in the runoff. Those folks didn't turn out. You know, they didn't want to vote for Walker. They did the first time because they're there. They're Republicans. It is what it is. But his appeal had serious limits.
I want to take a quick break, but we've got House Republicans promising literally an over-aggressive oversight on Biden administration. This could be a next year filled with investigations, judiciary's role, the oversight long list, Afghan and spots line, and all kinds of things that a lot of people see as just revenge for the investigations of the Democrats, of Republicans, over the Trump administration's dealings and such. I want to ask you about whether we'll get anything done, because the Republicans may be completely occupied with investigations. We'll take a quick break. Back with Sam Stone, one of the most respected GOP consultants in America, or right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Sam Stone, GOP consultant. He's also a candidate for the City Council of Phoenix. Sam, Republicans won't have enough votes to advance what you might call key legislation and through the Congress without a Democratic buy-in. There's just not enough numbers. Their oversight of government agencies, though, I would assume could put Democrats on the defensive and probably dampen support for the Biden administration going into the 2024 elections. Jordan has been talking about, we're talking about Representative Jordan from Ohio, talking about inquiries into the investigation of the FBI, execution of the search warrant at the Trump Mar-a-Lago residence. He's been advocating a wide range look at the Biden administration's immigration policy. You've got the Republicans talking about, as chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which is probably going to investigate the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, it's another investigation. Then another investigation. Republicans on the committee are already spending months investigating the origins of COVID-19, expected to continue that work with Congress. With Republicans in control of the House, that could be just one investigation after another. Some say it would be all revenge and back at you type attitudes that could just really make this the worst 2 years the Congress has ever had. What's your take on what Republicans will do with the power they now have?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's unfortunate, but I think they'll do exactly what you said. I mean, I think there is a role for some limited investigations. I think the Afghanistan thing, I don't know what you're investigating. Biden botched the pullout. He ordered it preemptively and without due consideration. I think everyone knows that. So I don't know what an investigation is supposed to turn up. I think there are serious questions around Hunter Biden, the information from Hunter Biden's laptop and his business ties in Ukraine, China, and other parts of the world, and the people he was doing business with, and Joe Biden's involvement in that. I think that's legitimate, but you have to keep, I would prefer they keep these things narrow and focused on getting things done. But this is what Congress has now devolved into, is one side investigates, the other side takes power, they investigate, and neither gets anything done. As a libertarianish sort, I don't really care if they get anything done, so that's okay.
We want a few things done because there's much to do. There really, truly is.
It is, but you know, look, you give them too much time and too much to do on their own, they're going to come up with things that are terrible for everyone, so, you know.
It's just going to make it worse, right? Quickly, where are you in the city council race? You're in a runoff, and you now face one opponent in what will be, what, a springtime finale to this fiasco called the City Council Elections of Phoenix, which is the most bizarre, crazy setup I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. So we had about 100 and some thousand, 120,000 people who cast a vote in the November election, and on March 14th, when they close that election, which is an all-mail election, ballots will go out February 15th. You have a month to get them back in. You can actually go in on Election Day to a couple of centers and vote there if you haven't done it already. But at that point, yeah, they will declare a winner between the two out of probably 30,000 votes that get cast. So fantastic job of extending the representation of democracy for the runoff election.
How the devil do you campaign in an atmosphere and circumstance such as that? That is insane. No, that's just insane.
You know what's ridiculous about it is, so those 30,000 people more or less vote in the city elections. Literally, I'm just starting by going back, looking at which people voted in the last city runoff election in this, you know, and trying to pull those out and go after those. It's really stupid. It's an incredibly stupid system. There's no reason. We were better off when we had odd year elections in August and November. And the best thing to do would just simply be to align it with the state elections and get it over with.
Well, I would think so. And, you know, I mean, you're taking a large number of people you represent and reducing it to a small number of people that are going to decide who represents them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's just
crazy.
Silly. I mean, it's diminutive for representation in this city.
But how the hell do you do that? Do you walk specific homes in a map drawn for 30,000 people out of 100,000? I mean, how you
yeah,
can't
but,
do
but,
media,
yeah,
you can't buy television or radio. I mean, what can you do?
Fortunately, actually, you know, modern software does allow you to develop walking and targeting lists for that, and then you send things directly to those people. If you have more money, you can send it to a broader audience and try to drive the vote a little bit. But, you know, look, this is a mess. This is the exact wrong way to run a ship, but it's what we do.
Well, congratulations on your effort and good luck in your campaign. And thanks so much for spending a bit of time with us on this Saturday afternoon. I really, truly appreciate it, Sam. Always great talking with you. Thank you.
John, as always, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Sam Stone, candidate for the city council, GOP consultant and strategist, one of the most respected in the country. Michael Braun will be with us next. He is a former city prosecutor. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona, a progressive blog that is followed by thousands in the state. Washington Post calls it the best blog in Arizona. That's all coming up next. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, now in our 33rd year of continuous Southern Arizona radio talk.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'm having some trouble here.
Look, man, it's Christmas Eve and we're closed.
If you just listen to our story. You see, we've been traveling for a long time. Our car is about to die. My wife Mary is about to give birth and no one seems to get us in for car repair. Can you help us?
Hey, is she okay? All right, look, pull your car forward. Here you go, Joseph. Just like new.
This is truly a miracle. It sounds like it's been reborn. How can we ever thank you? How much for this?
Hey, Merry Christmas.
God bless you, sir.
That's strange. There seems to be a bright light shining down on their car. Huh. I wonder who they are. Merry Christmas from all of us at Perfection Auto Works. 323-8650.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blog for Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blog for Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Michael Braun is with us. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona, former prosecutor for the city of Tucson. Michael, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Thank you so much.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Good. What's your take on the Democrats that lost trying to win again? We're talking about Carrie Lake, and we're talking about Fitchum, who's threatening all kinds of things, and perhaps an insurrection and everything else that goes along with it. They just don't get it, do they, apparently?
Well, they understand the grift. I mean, you have to keep the conspiracy delusions and the lies going in order to get your rubes to release their dollars. And, you know, part of that is, you know, filing meritless lawsuits. And that's exactly what this is from Lake. Unlike Sam, in your last segment, I have read the pleading. And in fact, it is completely meritless. It will be dismissed for lack of any, you know, any possible relief to be given by the courts. It's nonsense.
Well, you're the lawyer and he's not. So I'll believe you. How's that?
Also, from your last segment, I mean, Sam made a couple of assertions that I think were kind of off base. First of all, the idea that Trump won't be a spoiler in 24 when he's defeated in the GOP primary is whistling past the graveyard. He will absolutely run an independent campaign and spoil the Republican Party chances in 24 if he's given anything like a chance, if he's not in jail, and maybe if he is in jail.
Well, it's amazing. We're trying to understand, literally, I think, what's going on around the state. But the Democratic Party, perhaps you can enlighten us. The planned departure of the chair of the Arizona Democratic Party has kind of created somewhat of a division between the governor-elect Katie Hobbs and the other newly elected officials, raising some questions about elected officials who hold sway among Democrats. What's your take on how important the chair of the Democratic Party is for the state? A lot of people down here never even know who that is, or care for that matter.
Can you name the last one?
That's no, I can't name the last 10. One. You know, I really, or any of them for that matter.
You know, in my view, we should probably just allow Katie to have whoever she wants as a Democratic Party chair. That's sort of been the tradition is, you know, the governor is the head of the party and you allow them the grace of choosing their own team because, you know, when it comes down to, you know, dollars and donuts, it's on the governor to protect the majority of the party here in Arizona. So I don't see it as a big conflict. It's really a whole lot of nothing.
Well, yeah, the state law, the party rules require the party to hold an election of its chair. I think it's every 2 years. There's more than 1,000 state committeemen that will cast their vote for the new party chair. I guess that's an open meeting public, I guess, held in Phoenix. But 1,000, I don't know how many show up for that. But I think they all stand up for whoever it is. I remember one lawyer friend of mine, I don't even want to mention his name, got elected on, I don't know, call it a Tuesday night and quit on Wednesday. So, you know, it's a bizarre little situation with Democrats. But then whoever
it is,
thought
but
they were
I
organized.
Think the grassroots of the party are feeling very generous toward Katie. She pulled out a difficult win, and I think they're, in the end of the day, you know, her endorsement is going to carry the day.
What's your take on the narrowness of the legislature, but with a governor that can veto anything the narrow Republican majority can throw at her? I mean, this is not a veto-proof legislature. It has been before for Republicans, but it is not now. And I don't care what they do. They may have it come back as quickly as they throw it up to her 11th floor.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the Arizona electorate has been very clear that they are done with election deniers, these MAGA weirdos, you know, who Trump has put forward. They're just not having any of it. I mean, the reason why these candidates lost is because Republicans didn't vote for them. They came out and they voted for regular Republicans like Kimberly Yee running for treasurer. She got over 100,000 more votes than anybody else on the ticket. You know, that's because she's seen as just a normal Republican. These MAGA clowns, Arizona voters, including Republican voters, are just done. Now, unfortunately, what that means for our state legislature is many of those seats are very, 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 very red. That means that they're very secure, and a lot of MAGA Republicans got elected in those districts. And so there's a whole passel of these hoople heads still in the Arizona Legislature, in the Arizona House, and they're just going to send messaging bill after messaging bill up to Katie to veto. And in my view, that's probably going to redound to Katie's credit because Arizona voters are not behind these MAGA ideas about denying elections and nonsense like that. They're just not going to have it. Same thing's going to happen in the U.S. House because now that they have control, there's still a whole heck of a lot of MAGA Republicans there. And they're going to be doing the exact same thing, holding investigations that are all wrapped around this MAGA and QAnon nonsense that nobody wants to hear any more about. and they are going to lose their majority if they don't use it for something productive, both the House, both the U.S. House and the Arizona House and Senate.
Well, if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, as well as you should be, I think of myself in a similar wardrobe. Let me ask you about cinema. I have some very strong feelings about cinema, which I can't express without using words I can't express. So you tell me what you think.
I don't want to lose anybody their license, but, you know, cinema has done, you know, from her perspective, a wise thing. She's preserved her market value. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If she was still a Democrat, she'd be looking at defeat in the Democratic primary because, you know, all the polling is, you know, Stanton's ahead of her, Gallego's ahead of her, you know, the local dog catcher's ahead of her. She's not popular with anybody. And then not just Democrats, but independents don't like her. Republicans don't like her. Women don't like her. Nobody likes her. And so by switching to an independent role, she's hoping to preserve her market value. There's two things that I think she has her eye on. One is running as an independent in Arizona for Senate, which I don't think is going to be successful. It's very rare. I mean, it's never happened in Arizona that an independent has won a statewide race, number one. So there's no precedent for it. But, you know, if you go back to like 2006, Lieberman did this. He lost in the Democratic primary, then he ran as an independent. He won. But he was very popular with Democrats. He's just not popular enough. He was very popular with independents. He was very popular with Republicans. And so he actually won his race. The opposite is true of Sinema. I think she has no chance of actually winning. But if she doesn't get out of the race or stay out of the race, she could well tip the race to the Republican who's running in 24, whoever that might be, and act as a spoiler in the race. So, you know, her market value goes up in getting her out of there and into a cushy job. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of Democratic people with lots of money behind them saying, oh, look, isn't this better than running a losing election, Senator Sinema? Why don't you come and work for us for $100 million a year or whatever? And secondly, there's this no labels party movement, which is basically run by a bunch of billionaires and oligarchs. And they're thinking about creating an independent third-party ticket for president in 2024. And, of course, her becoming an independent is sort of a perfect play for her if she wants to get a slot on that ticket, which I suspect she might.
Oh, my God. That's more of your response. Huh? Oh, my God. as you take a look at the Democrats and where they are positioned for 2024, you'd think after 2022, they're in pretty damn good shape. But that's a long way from here to there. What's the biggest obstacle Democrats will have to overcome to be as successful defending 24 Senate seats and an entire House again in 2024, which really, as you take it, is only a blink of an eye in the Republican and Democratic political calendar?
Well, the way I see it, we do have an entire executive team here in Arizona in our hands. We are one vote short in both the House and the Senate. So that means we only have to flip one person, one Republican, to stop things there before it comes to using a veto, or two in order to get something that we actually want that's moderate and delivers for people actually passed. So I think the most important thing is we be productive legislatively. We take a middle-of-the-road approach. We deliver things that the majority of Arizonans want, and we make sure people know who delivered it. You know, that's one of the problems that we've had with this legislature, the Congress, is we have made major legislative deliveries over the last 2 years, but we haven't really gotten the credit that we deserved for it. You know, Biden has been genius, along with Pelosi and Schumer, in actually getting bipartisan legislation through that is really delivered for voters, but yet they have not messaged well about it. And so people tend to forget about all the great things that have been done and just how well our economy is doing as a result of the Biden administration.
Michael, I want you to hang on. A new president, I believe, for the Democrats of Greater Tucson. I want to introduce him, and I want you to stay with me, and we'll kind of introduce him together. But I need to take a break. Can you stay with me, please?
Absolutely.
All right. Founder of Blog for Arizona, former city prosecutor Michael Bryan is my guest, and I'll be back with him after these messages. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Production Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Michael Bryan, who is a former prosecutor for the city of Tucson. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona, the progressive blog in the state that the Washington Post calls the very best blog in the state. And with me is Joe D., the new president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. So, Michael, let's introduce Joe D. to this audience who replaces Larry Bodine, who's been a regular on our show, as the Democrats of Greater Tucson have been a part of our show for the last almost year. I'll give you the honors to introduce Joe D., please.
Well, Joe D. is just a fantastic organizer. He's been involved with organizing and fundraising for charities all around this state and in prior states that he lived in. And we're very pleased to have him as our new president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'll let him introduce himself further.
All right, Joe, welcome. And let us get to know you better.
Yeah. Thanks for those warm words, Mike. Appreciate it. And Larry, thanks for having me. I actually grew up in Onondaga County in central New York. And I, as an 18-year-old, registered to vote and become a very active member of the local Democratic Committee. Since then, I've been very proud of the work that I've done across the country for charity, and we have decided to live in Tucson for the last 5 years, and I have decided to get very active with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. I think there's a lot to build on in Pima County with all the different Democrats and issues. We had wonderful candidates. One candidate that I'm not sure you mentioned earlier that lost, but we really thought she had a great chance, was Kirsten Engel. And I'm still very, very excited about her campaigns in the future. And I talked to Nancy Cates today, another House member. So there's a lot of activity. Our mission as the Democrats of Greater Tucson is to elect Democrats. And like I say, we have lots of them now.
Well, I tell you, this had to be a great time for you as a celebration of 2022. I was doom and gloom, and pretty much reflected that for almost 6 months leading up to the midterms. I thought, well, you know, you got to believe these Republicans when they say we're going to win, we're going to win big. It's a red tsunami; it will swamp over everybody, and the Democratic Party will no longer exist. Blah blah blah. Well, the opposite is just absolutely the truth. So, I was celebrating, dancing in the street, as were my neighbors and friends that are Democrats. It was a glorious time, and we need to build on that for 2024, which is another great challenge. As it's the presidential election year, and of course the Congress is going to be decided all over again. I ask you, Joe D., how well prepared do you think this Democratic Party is for another battle in 2024?
Oh, absolutely. We're already working on it, and it's exciting. We had a meeting of the county Democratic Party today and elected a new slate of officers for them. And you can tell there's, you know, people are ready to go. They're fired up and they're ready to go.
Michael, you know, thinking back...
Let me just interject here about that that meeting. Eric Robbins was elected the new chair of Pima County Democratic Party. And you can meet Eric on December 12th at DGT. Just go to the DGT.org, click on his event, and sign up for the Zoom and meet him on Monday at noon.
That's fantastic. I think that is a great opportunity to get to know somebody. Michael, I don't know. Somebody needs to do some research. I do not remember when, I don't know whether it's ever happened, that Democrats have literally taken the governor's seat, the secretary of state, apparently attorney general, and a U.S. Senate seat all in the same year. Has that ever happened?
1950, I think. It's been over half a century.
Well, I wonder, I was 8 years old then, so. I mean, seriously, it has been such a long struggle for Democrats to do well statewide in the state of Arizona, that you just had to sit back and go, oh, my God. You know, that's really what the only expression you should have.
Well, part of it is, you know, Arizona's been changing demographically for many years now. We've been creeping closer and closer. But, you know, part of it this year is just, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of Republicans just threw up their hands, held their noses, and voted for Democrats or didn't vote because they were just sick of these MAGA idiots. They had a whole slate of MAGA idiots running for the top of the ticket, and they said no.
Well, you know, Joe D, you have to agree that the quality of the candidate does make a difference, for God's sake.
Oh, absolutely. When I first heard that wasn't a factor, and you know, Herschel Walker, who I guess was the poster boy for that, it's just absurd. It's illogical. The quality of the candidates always mattered. There's just no doubt about it. The days, even the days of the lever where you could vote, you know, Republican or vote all Democratic, people still split their ticket. So I'm with both of you. I think we need to make sure we continue to have the best candidates that we can have. And on the statewide level, we did. I thought we had two good candidates for the Arizona Corporate Commission, too. And I think that's another down ballot race. We've really got to spend some time and energy.
Well, Michael Bryan, before we leave, and thank you, Joe, for being on our show, stay with us. Somebody's got to explain to me why Arizona, as smart as they are about what they did in 2022, still elect Biggs, Gosar, and Swikert, two of the greatest trifecta of yahoos that ever lived. I mean, I've interviewed each one of them. I know each one of them. They are fools, but people keep electing them to the Congress. I don't get it.
Well, you know, we came within a couple thousand votes of knocking out Schweikert this time.
That's true.
We'll be back. You know, he better watch his back because we're gonna come back and do that again. But we'll win next time. As to Gosar and Biggs, they're in such deep red districts that, you know, it's hard for anybody to dig them out except for another Republican during the primary. And until this MAGA fever passes, you know, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I do see some amusing results from Biggs' run for majority Speaker of the House. That will be very amusing. He's announced that he's going to run against McCarthy, and I think it's going to be extremely embarrassing for him. So that'll be good to watch.
I'm not sure he's is capable of being embarrassed, at least as I recall. But anyway.
Probably not.
Seriously. Michael, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Joe D, some final words for you. Got 30 seconds to tell us what you're going to do. 30 seconds.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing I'm going to do is going to reinforce Mike's mentioning that our new chair is going to be with us on Monday at Democrats for Greater Tucson. At our meeting at noon, just go to Democrats of Greater Tucson, a search, and you'll find the information. And then we also have our famous Democrats of Greater Tucson happy hour on Wednesday, December 21st, and that's going to be 4 to 6 p.m. at Brother John's Barbecue.
Well, thank you, Joe D. Well, I apologize. I'm out of time running up the clock here. But congratulations on your new leadership of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Good luck to you. Michael Bryan, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
I want to thank Mike Emery for being our prime sponsor of the John C. Scott Show. No greater businessman or mechanic has ever lived. I thank him so much. Have a great weekend, everybody, from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This has been the John C. Scott Political Forum.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Well, tonight's the night. I am ready to roll. I'm wired. In fact, I feel 6 feet tall. Hey, what say we take this thing for a joyride? Nope. Santa said stay away from his souped-up sleigh. Come on, just once around the Milky Way. Get in. Oh, no. What happened?
Help!
Help! Now you've done it. You blew a head gasket and 6 hours to take off. You better do something fast.
I got it. That guy in Arizona, Perfection Auto Works. He came to our rescue before. Well, call him, you dumbbell.
Hello? What? Again?
Hey, how'd you get her so quick?
Santa gifted me a retro rocket in case of emergencies. Now, stand clear. There, all set now. You guys keep away from this machine.
Whoa, dude, here comes Santa.
All right, let's go.